have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Music Media, shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Care. But if you a game changer, got my head, got my grind on high, win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane, my God is the aim, put me in coach, and watch me change the game, cause I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. To the best, ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat, can get a flesh, another rest. They say go hard or go home, I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a Lycan. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain tests, who you liking? Yeah, so it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds, you can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me, you better run to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game, my head is in. Life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing. Now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money grams. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need a 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. It's heaven, it's just who I am. Al Kim, this where I stand. Trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that's insane. It's evident your book they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause, just to win. And if you a game changer, let me see my head.
Pursuit on Elation Radio. This is Minister Cedric and my good friend Jason. Today is February 16th, another glorious Friday. Well, thank all y'all for tuning back in with us tonight. We got a special topic tonight. I've been kind of reading a little bit today. Y'all know how I get when I read. I just I kind of lose my mind a little bit. But that a special little thing I want to give a shout out to. Everybody knows, those of you who celebrate days like Valentine's Day, you know, made me think, gave me a topic, you know, and I was just sitting around doing nothing, and I got to read, and I pushed over to, y'all already know, Proverbs. I pushed over to Proverbs, and it kind of made me think of a few things. Things that I don't normally kind of get into, everybody knows Proverbs 31, but I want to call your attention, thank God, I want to call your attention to, again, the book of Proverbs, but I just want to look at verse 22, that's chapter 18, verse 22, Proverbs 18, 22, and it says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So that just made me think. So, of course, you know, I went over to Proverbs 31, but that scripture made me think, and I started really kind of examining myself. And as I examined myself, I started thinking, you know, a lot of times, you know, we do things when we're young, you know, and unfortunately, I know God hates divorce, but unfortunately, you know, I'm a man who's been divorced now. As of April, coming the end of April, it would be for me 24 years, right? Never been remarried, been engaged once, but just wow! Like I feel like I've given up, and I felt like I had given up a long time ago. That's how I was feeling today when I was reading these passages, and I had a conversation with a friend of mine. But I feel like I had just given up. And so tonight, I kind of want to talk a little bit about that topic. But before we jump in, I want to make sure my partner's on. Jason, you all with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You're coming through loud and clear.
How we doing today, my man?
Oh, man, I'm prayed up today, studied up tonight. You know how I go. I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Having a good time, man. Enjoying life. Just attended, you know, just between me, I attended this wonderful ceremony today with school because, you know, I'm still sliding in there at the top of my class, you know, trying to do it big. Hopefully in a couple of years I have my doctorate knocked out, you know what I'm saying? So I'm an old man deciding to go to college and competing with some of these youngsters that, wow, they'd be on top of their game. But, hey, I can safely say I'm on top of my game, too. But enough of me bragging about school. Let's talk about the big school. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to get your input on this. You know, come with the truth for me. You know, hit me hard and heavy in my thinking. But I just read Proverbs 18:22, and it just made me think. And so tonight, Jess, I want to talk about this. You know, this whole new modern world thing. I want to talk about the modern Proverbs 31 woman. What you think?
Sounds
good to you. That's good, because I think I want to talk about it, because I know neither one of us is women. I know. We're men. We're leaders, right? We're the head, not the tail. We're all those things. But yet still, we have to respect and observe what the word says. And we need to govern ourselves accordingly. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
And so I wanted to talk about this from we can take this however you want it, but I really want to talk about it from a standpoint of us as men, or men dating in a modern world, this new modern world we live in. I kind of want to talk about it that way because I mean, we'll get to the Proverbs 31 woman, but before I go jumping and chasing into the woman, I want to talk about us. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
All right, because like people ask me all the time, and this is what kind of spurred me to read this. People ask me all the time, well, man, you seem to have it really together. I mean, hey, on the outside, I feel like you really got it together. You seem like a good person. You dress nice. You got a nice car. You got a nice house. I mean, you seem like you got it together. Why you ain't found that woman? Why you haven't settled down, right? That's the question I get. And I get it not just from friends, from male friends, but female as well, relatives, friends of friends, strangers, you know, I get it from everybody. But so I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this. How did you first figure out that you was even ready for a relationship? How we go about, as men, how do we go about doing that? Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, when you say ready, for me, I truly believe that, you know, when you talk about scripture, scripture says it's not good for a man to be alone. So I don't know if we are ever ready for a relationship as opposed to we were designed to be in relationship, right? So now the question is, now that's the way that God designed me, am I now equipped to be a good steward of the thing God designed me to have and to be, right? So I don't know as a man if we I think we're born ready for the relationship. The question is, are we ready to be the good steward of the relationship that God's going to bless us with?
Hold on. I got to stop you real quick. I know I'm interrupting, but you mean we're born ready for the relationship?
Well, I'm saying like this. We're born, when I say ready, I'm not saying ready in a sense of preparation, but in a sense of desire, right? You know, when God said it's not good for man to be alone, he's talking about the desire he's placed in all our hearts to be in relation with somebody, right? As small kids, as our friends, but as we get older, it really becomes that person, you know, that spouse, that part of you that you are to become one with.
I never thought about it as simple as that. I thought of it from a standpoint, am I ready today? Like, do I want to settle down? Am I ready to share my worldly possessions? Am I ready to share my spirituality? Because, like, I'm one of those guys, Jason. I'm going to be honest. I'm one of those guys that if I meet a young lady and I'm like, whoa, I think she's all right. I'm still not ready to take her to church. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I've met a couple of young ladies and I don't even invite them to listen to the show. Because I'm saying, what if she ain't the one? What if it don't work? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or am I just kind of being paranoid? Like, I'm scared to invite them into my life.
Yeah, it does make sense. Now if you talk about being ready, I think, you know, as men of God, it's not about being ready, but it's not about being ready for the person. It's about being ready for the thing that God has for you. And it's interesting when we talk about dating. I've always, one of the things as I was going through the dating scene, you know, I would always talk about is like, are you ready for the blessing God's provided for you? Right. And the thing about it, you know, to me, when we're talking about dating, we're talking about it's another act of submission. Right. So it's never if I want to have this person in my life, is this the person God had designed for me? One of my favorite things to do was I ask a woman, what are you looking for in a man? Right. And every woman, you know, kind of rattle off 3, 4, 5, 15 things that they're looking for. He has to be this. He has to be that. He has to be this. And my follow-up question is always the same.
Like, what kind of things do you hear, though?
I hear, like, he's got to be tall. He got to be at least 6'5". He's got to have a job, make an X dollar amount. He can't have no kids. All his kids need to be grown. You know, he has to have his own car. You know, he has to have a certain degree. You know, he can't be working this type of job. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on, right? You know, so
can I tell you? Well, can I ask you this? I know, go ahead and finish what you're saying, then I'm going to ask you. Go ahead and finish.
No. So like I said, my follow-up question is always the same. Well, what if God has for you? What if the man God has for you isn't that? And I love my response. Oh, God wouldn't do that to me. And I'm like, okay. So when I hear that response from a man or a woman, I don't think you're ready for the relationship that God has for you. What you might be ready for is how to fulfill my wants and desires, but you're not really truly ready for the relationship God has for you. And I'm in on this, and I'll let you chime in. There was a man at my church, and he was an incredible man. And I tell you, he went through the dating scene, and he basically told me, he's like, look, I just said, okay, God, whatever you got for me. And, you know, he just started walking it out, you know, did his life, served at church, you know, worship and praise, and he happened to found his wife at church. And when he was up talking to me in reality, he's like, look, this is not the woman that I normally am attracted to, right? I'm into health and fashion. She's not really, you know, I do a job that's kind of high IT. You know, she's still in the medical field. She's like, he's like, there's nothing about this woman that would have me be attracted to her, but this is the best woman I've ever had in my life, because I believe God had gave her to him, because I've submitted to what God has for me and got over what I'm looking for in a woman. But anyway, I'll pick up a little later on. But what were you gonna say?
I don't know. I forgot. But here's the question I had. I had a question like this. No, but on a serious note, I'm a little hyped tonight. I apologize, y'all, if I'm bouncing off the walls just a little bit. I had some coffee for the first time in a long time. And, yeah. Whew. But anyway, so here's my thing. As a man, because, see, I don't want brothers and ladies, I don't want nobody to feel like we're poking at, like, women or nothing like that. But so as a man, I'm saying to myself, Lord, because I'm that guy. You said that the women say, oh, if he ain't this, he ain't 6'5", he ain't got this much money. That. Well, I'm the guy on the other side that say, look, I like a lady who's into fitness. I'm not super fit, but right now I'm a lean 145, 150 pounds. I've gone through some hardships, but yeah, most people tell me I don't really go. I think I'm well preserved physically, but I'm not a tall guy. I'm not, Jason, I'm 5'3". That's it. And I have, and I'm making this personal, okay? I have heard from ladies that say, if I would date a guy who was under 6 foot or 5'11", some of them go down as 5'8". I've dated ladies as tall as 6'2". Why would a woman that tall, right? It's hard for me, right? So what I'm saying, though, is I always look at that woman, and my problem is I start with the physical. And people have told me, you know what? What God got for you may not be that. She may not be that physical woman. Like, I'm not looking for, you know, she don't have to be Beyonce. She don't have to be tall and slender. She don't have to be super muscular and athletic. No, she don't have to be all that. She could be the average lady in my mind and in my eyes. But I feel like if God makes her beautiful to me, Jason, I'm being honest. I feel like if God shows me this woman, and it's kind of like the guy you were just talking about in the church. If God shows me this woman and to me she's beautiful, I don't really care what the rest of the world think. That's what I want. But my problem is that don't happen too often, J-Dub. That don't happen too often. And I'm kind of nervous. I mean, I'm 53. I'm old. My clock is ticking. I'm tired of being single. I want to settle down. So I'm saying, how do we really know when we're ready? Because I went through a list of things, and I was writing it down as you were talking. And I said, what would I want in a like-minded mate? That woman. I want a like-minded woman, right? The Bible talks about being equally yoked, right? I think a lot of times, correct me, Jason, correct me, because I'm going by my interpretation at this point, and I might be a little bit in my feelings, but the Bible talks about having a like-minded person, and the Bible says being equally yoked. Does that include like-minded? Am I being too straightforward, superficial? Am I misreading that scripture today?
I think that scripture does talk about like-mindedness. You know, you got to think about God as a God of order, right? So I think the like-mindedness is something that is not a bad thing to desire, but I would challenge to say that, you know, you're ready to date when you're ready to say, similar to that man I was telling you about, God, whatever you have for me is for me. Right. I would say that, you know, like-mindedness is would definitely be what's the word I'm looking for? It would be like the icing on the cake, but it may not have to be a prerequisite, because if you look at God and some of the things that God has put together, he has put together some people that don't have the same mindset, right? I'm thinking about Hosea and Gomer, right? I mean, you got to think about that, right?
But Hosea didn't choose Gomer. God chose her. God told him to go marry her. It's a little different. So keep in mind, I'm talking today. I'm talking 2000. 24, not 400 BC.
Right, but what's the difference? Right, but think
that's
about what you just said. You just answered the question yourself. God told him to marry her, right?
But okay,
and even today, God would tell us who he has for us.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Now, I'm not going to hear that.
You don't agree with that?
Okay. God can't do that. I do agree that God can't do that. No, don't get me wrong. I do agree with that. But I also agree, I also understand that God sends us out on a mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then while we're out there doing what God called us to do, we still have an obligation to fulfill. I think he gives us a choice. I just don't believe that every single time a man gets married that he's following what God said. And you don't believe me? If he did, then why is divorce rate 50%?
Oh, no. I would agree with that. I can't say that every marriage that happens, even inside or outside of church, because the crazy thing, the divorce rate with people who claim to be Christians is just as high as everybody else, right? So,
right.
But what I'm saying is this, you know, if we just sit still and wait for God to bring us the person that we pray to God and we say like, hey, this is what I'm looking for, then can we sit still and wait for him to bring it to us, right? Now, I say this being the type of person who could not sit still and wait, and I went out and looked at him for my own, right? So the question is, when we do that, you know, what happens, right? What happens, right? You know, so I'm out there seeking. I'm operating under my own power, under my own authority, you know, trying to find this person for me, not waiting on God to deliver. Then what happens, right? You know, then what happens? I find this person, then what? Right?
Uh-huh.
And you know, I don't know. You know, this is probably not a popular belief, but, you know, to say there's one woman for every man, I don't know if that's a true statement. Right? You know, I do believe that. Right? I do believe, though, that God can ordain a marriage if you give it to him. So even though I may be out there operating on my own power, trying to find my own person, and not, you know, once again, not really trusting God to deliver, you know, even when I find her, right, although I may operate in a sense of, okay, I'm operating under my own authority, under my own will, God still has the ability to bless it if he sees fit.
Right, but see, you know, again, I was just going into me, because I wonder, you know, how is it that me as a man, I get to say, and I get your explanation, you know, but I like to think that, you know, to know when you're ready, you know, one of the things I tell you what I personally think, like, you know, when I personally ready, when I first felt like I was ready, I you know, the reason I talked about the like-minded partner is because I thought about it. I said, I looked in the mirror and I said, am I a complete and whole man all by myself? And the answer to my question was, yeah, I don't need no, you know how you see in the movies, it looks so romantic. Oh, you complete me. I don't have to say she completes me. Like, I'm whole. I'm complete, right? My circle is complete because I have this wonderful relationship with Christ, because I can live by myself, because I'm not lusting after every skirt that passes by. I'm not doing that, right? 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 So I feel like I'm complete. Like I worship God. Even when I don't have a church home, I still worship God. I try to be in the church every single Sunday, but there are some Sundays I just don't feel like going, right? But at the same time, I never feel like not worshiping God, even when I'm angry. As a matter of fact, when I'm angry, I want to worship him the more because I'm afraid of this, that, and the other. But I try to in my head, now this isn't me talking. So I like to think I'm complete by myself, so am I ready for a relationship when I get there? I say, yeah. And then I think about this. Now, this is a big thing for me. I ask myself, I said, but what does love look like to you? And I couldn't answer the question, but there was one thing about love that I put out there, Jason. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong and tell me if I'm even on the right track. I said to myself, I said, I will not settle for anything less than unconditional love. You can't love me conditionally. I don't want that. That's not cheap. I started asking myself questions like this, and I started saying, are you really ready for a wife? But that was a big thing to me because I remember being a young man, Jason. I remember being a young man, and if I go flying off the handle, bring me back. But I remember being a young man. I said, you know what? Here you go. When I say young, I'm talking in my spiritual growth, not in age, spiritual growth. I said, arranged marriage is okay. They did it in biblical days. They okay. You'll grow to love that person. Right? Now, okay. If God called me out to be like Hosea, then that's a great attitude. Right? But what if God allowed me to choose? And so I said to myself, no, that's not a really good attitude to have. If God did that, then you're right, Jason. You go and do that. But I don't think that's just one of the things that God called me to do. So I said in my head, you know what? Unconditional love is important. You can't substitute love. I don't want to be second, right? I want to be a second-class citizen in my own marriage. I've seen relationships where I felt like a second-class citizen, and guess what happened to the relationship? It just didn't work. You know what I'm saying? And then check me if I'm wrong. I want you to comment on this because I know you've gotten married, you know. I understand your background, but have you ever felt like there's something wrong with me? This relationship ain't working because there's something wrong with me. Because, I asked myself that question, and only when I came to the conclusion, again, I looked in the mirror, I had talked with myself. I'm sorry, y'all, if I sound a little crazy, but I had to talk with myself, and I said to myself, nah, ain't nothing wrong with you. You know, we all have hardships. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, so when I started dissecting myself and looking at those kinds of things, I started saying to myself, all right, self, are you ready to settle down? And I think, and I'm saying this, and I'm being honest, because, you know, a lot of us men, we don't want to admit things to ourselves. We want to look over all of our shortcomings. We want to say there's nothing wrong with us, but deep down in our hearts, see, this is the big thing, right? Jason, correct me if I'm wrong. But you see, when you answer certain questions about yourself, it's got to be a heart thing. It can't be a whole mind thing. It can't be, I just want to make myself feel good because talking, you know, being critical of myself, I feel down. My feelings are hurt. I think that we have to truly be honest. As men, when we want to, because how can you honor a woman when you can't honor yourself? How can we honor a mate and honor where we want to go, period, if we can't honor ourselves or honor our mates right where they are? Neither one of us got jobs. Both of us got snaggled teeth. We both dirty, but our dreams are to have an apartment and work at a gas station. What's wrong with that? You know, so I started thinking like that. I'm going to be honest. That's where I went. My whole brain took off because I was like, you know, what am I looking for in a mate? So what's the most important qualities we should be looking for in a mate, Jason?
So before I answer that, let me ask you a question, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask
when we talk about mate, and let's be honest, like, I don't believe dating is biblical. So we're not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend. We're talking about one of the few institutions that God ordained, marriage. You know, he created himself. What is the purpose of marriage, right?
Are you asking me what's the purpose of marriage?
Yeah. What do you feel like the purpose of marriage is?
I'm going to say this so I can... You know what? Well, one reason is to repopulate this earth. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, right.
I'm going to be honest. Another reason is I go back to having that being able to demonstrate God's love for us. I know that sounds a bit superficial and crazy, but being able to demonstrate God's love for us. And what I mean is the union between a husband and a wife symbolizes how do I say it? The union of Christ and the church. And I always tell men that when you get married, you are the pastor of your house. So you're the headship of your house. You're the overseer of your house. So another purpose for getting married would be that. Again, I already mentioned to build families and to procreate. Also, I think marriage for us as men or people, not just men, but marriage also, it's to exercise our level of maturity, our wisdom, even our faith. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I believe off the top of my head, not being prepared for the question. That's what I believe marriage is about.
Okay. So what if, and so understand before I ask the question or make the statement, understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. Marriage, for some reason, isn't working out the way it's supposed to be. You mentioned it earlier today. The divorce rate. And, you know, with marriages, the first time marriage is up to 50%. And the crazy thing, that's inside and outside the church, right?
Okay.
And if you think about what we make marriage today, right? When you think about, you know, when you ask that question of marriage today is, most of the answers you get, it becomes about the two individuals entering the marriage, about a life of happiness, about a life of peace, happiness and security, and all these other things that we're looking for. But what if marriage is truly not about the two individuals, but it's about a corporate worship? You know, it's about two individuals coming together to serve a God and build the kingdom agenda that he gave us, but to do it at a greater capacity because I'm not doing it alone anymore. You know, when you talk about and I truly believe what you just said, that the institution of marriage should mirror, you know, Christ in the church, right? And if you look at that model, Christ did not care about his own self or his own happiness. The only thing he lived for was to serve the Father's agenda and to live out the Father's will in his life. And as a church, mm-hmm. we're supposed to emulate that. So if you notice in the relationship of Christ and the church, right, it's never about any one of the individuals. It's always about the Father. And the connection between those two is to serve out the Father's will. So if you ask me what's the purpose of marriage, the purpose of marriage is to serve out the kingdom, is to grow the kingdom of God and to do it in a collective force, which means that I'm not worried about anything about myself. You know, all I'm concerned about is, can I serve God and God's kingdom in a greater capacity because of this? You know, this union that God has blessed me with, does that allow me to serve God in a greater capacity than I would if I was alone?
What if I'm not in church? What if I don't really live by what the Bible says?
Let's just say I'm an average guy,
and I want to get married, but I want to get married doing the right thing. How do I apply what you're saying to my life? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I really want to be able to address every brother, you know, because you and I both know that we're going to always encourage them seek God and his kingdom.
Right.
Right? And all right. these other, but you know, that's what we're going to encourage. And I want to say that even before you answer that question, because there are some brothers that aren't where we are. How do we not convince, because we're not trying to convince anybody, but how do we convey this message across so that they get it, that, hey, you know what, I do need to really think about what I'm doing before I do it.
So when it comes to marriage, you know, for me, you know, God designed marriage. And can we do marriage differently than the way God designed it? Yes, we can. Can we even achieve a level of worldly success with it? Of course. We've known people, and I know people personally, who aren't in the church. They're not strong followers. They're not Christians. But they built what we, from a worldly perspective, a successful family. Kids are doing well, got grandkids and things like that. But for me, I think when I think about marriage, I got to think about the author of marriage and who created marriage and how does he define success in that marriage. So for the guy that's not in church and they want to talk about marriage, then, you know, I think as human beings, we always talk about, and especially as men, we always talk about being leaders, right? Leading where we are, right? And if you're not in church, like I always say, a good man is a godly man. That's the only type of good man there is. But even if you're not in church, you can still lead and lead your family to greater prosperity, which is the calling of every man. But, you know, how do I can't talk about marriage without recognizing the creator of marriage and submitting to what his definition of success in marriage is. So that's a difficult question for me to ask, to answer. And I've had men who aren't in the church and they talk to me about marriage. And the first thing I tell them, I'm like, man, this is something God designed and ordained.
Okay. Well, I totally agree with everything you just said. So let's say we're ready to get married. I'm a brother. I'm ready to get married. I'm on the hunt for my lady. Right. Right. God, I'm just saying, God gave me my walking papers. I'm ready. You know, I think one of the problems, one of the issues we have is, where do we find them? Where do we find these good, godly ladies? No, let me fix it. Where do we find these Proverbs 31 ladies? Where are they?
Where do you find them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a blueprint for what a wife should be. You got your walking, your marching orders. How do we meet them?
Okay, so when you talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, I don't know if you find that woman, but I think that is the result of a godly marriage.
What do you mean? You don't know if you find that woman?
I don't think a woman could be a Proverbs 31 woman without a husband, because a woman.
Well, okay. Well, what do you meet the potential Proverbs 31? What do you meet her before she becomes the Proverbs 31?
So let me preface that. I think that's the goal of every man. The goal of a man is to create an environment where that woman can be the version of herself that God created her to be, right? And in that Proverbs 31 woman would naturally emerge, right?
I don't get that. That's a trivia question. That's one of those riddles that you see people.
What do you mean?
A woman has three kids, 2 years apart.
Okay.
The oldest one is 19. How old is the youngest one? I can't figure out what you're saying. I guess that's all I'm saying.
So what I'm saying is this.
I don't understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is this. The goal of a man in a marriage is to, like I always say, it's a kingdom building exercise. And your assignment may be that woman. And actually is that woman, right?
Okay.
And how do I create an environment where that woman can be the best version of herself? And then when I say best version of herself, that's the version God called her to be.
Okay, so if I meet a Gomer, and I'm only using this because you mentioned it earlier. So if I meet a Gomer, so what I need to do is go home and create an environment where Gomer transitions into this godly woman that she's supposed to be.
Yes.
What if I just didn't choose Gomer? What if I just didn't choose a Gomer?
But see, to your point, you said it earlier. Hosea didn't choose Gomer. God chose Gomer for Hosea. And as a man, if we're really ready to be married, what we're really saying is, okay, God, I am ready for the next assignment that you have for me. And I understand this assignment, especially if it's a relationship.
I'm struggling.
Right. Because this way of thinking.
I don't even want to be married anymore. I'm joking.
Yes, because it completely turns on head what we think marriage is about. We think marriage is about our own personal happiness and traveling and enjoying one another and you know, just having fun and having that security blanket that's there every day and the Valentines and all this other stuff, right?
Okay.
We believe marriage is about love. Right? We believe marriage is about love. And it's not.
What? Oh, it's not? Marriage ain't about love?
No. Marriage is about the kingdom of God. And now that I've got this extra person, how do I serve God greater in the capacity that you've given me? So imagine this, right? As an individual, I can go and build a 6-foot wall, right? That is my capacity as an individual, to build a 6-foot wall, right? And I can do that 6-foot wall, and I can do it, and I can build that successfully each and every time. Well, with somebody else, that 6-foot wall turns into a 15-foot wall, right? And that's what marriage is about, is that, okay, Josh, I can do certain things for your kingdom by myself, right? But you're going to bless me with this person that's going to multiply my ability to serve your kingdom, right? So think about, the marriage is not about me and my happiness. It's not about her and her happiness. It's about us being able to serve God at a greater capacity, because now he's given us somebody to do. It's a selfless marriage, because I'm not thinking about myself, and I'm also not thinking about my spouse. All I'm thinking about is, how do I serve God at a greater capacity? And to me, that's when I ask the question, why do we get married? That's why we get married.
Yeah.
Right? Now, no woman in today's time would ever go for that. Just tell you right now, no woman in today's time would ever go for that. And that's why I say we have to build that Proverbs 31 woman, because what we have to do is love a woman where she's at, right?
Wait a minute. You have to build that bitch? Wait a minute. So let's talk about that, because I'm like, in my head, I'm already ahead of you, and you're making me back up. We don't create, how we gonna create a Proverbs 31 woman? You said that she couldn't even be that until she got married. I mean, explain that to me.
So God has already put it in. That's what I'm telling you. When God designed a woman, he's already put all those things you read in Proverbs 31. He's already endowed her with it.
So I could go down to the club and meet on Friday night, and when we finally get this whole thing, whatever, she know I want to get married. I know she want to get married. We get married. All of a sudden, the Proverbs 31 woman show up?
Well, what I'm saying is, it's inside of her. And just like any other thing that you have to grow, it's going to require love, it's going to require patience, it's going to require nurturing, right? So just because you get married, that doesn't mean that the work is done. And that, a lot of people feel that way. People feel like, once I get to marriage, the work is done. But the work has only begun at that point, right? The work is done when that woman can become the Proverbs 31 woman, the woman God designed her to be. And I'll tell you, it's becoming increasingly difficult today, time, because and not just women, but men too, we are so traumatized by the environment. We have been skewed to believe that marriage is about love and happiness, right? We've been skewed to believe that our feelings are some of the most important things that we should be that should be informing the decisions of our life. And if you think about it, yes.
In the society we live in today, where is family happy? You see, the reason I'm asking these questions, I don't mean to sound difficult or anything, but the reason I'm asking these questions is because, you see, when I think about what you're saying, I think that for the mature Christian, what you're saying works. It works. But for the less mature person, it don't work. So how can we talk to our younger people, our younger men especially, because I really like to focus on the men, about the types of ladies that we're dating, that we're marrying. I even want to talk about where we meet, because I really don't know where we meet them. You know, so the types, like, what kind of characteristics? What characteristics do young men, to meet that woman that you're talking about, who is, what's the word I'm looking for, who can be molded into this woman who grows into this Proverbs 31 woman, what characteristics am I looking for? What should I be looking for?
So I will tell you, I don't think there's a blueprint for a man-woman relationship, in the sense that these are the things that you look for. But what you do have to have is a woman that can be influenced by you, a woman that you can touch. You can touch her heart. You can touch her in the places that God, that are most intimate to her. and to the point where now when that she's ready to trust you leading, right? You know, it's funny. Most women tell me, well, all these guys want to talk about, they want to lead, and they want to do this, and they can't lead. And I don't disagree with them, right? And I'll tell every young man this, it's real simple. Your job is really simple. You've got to build a level of trust and security in that woman where she says, okay, where you lead me, I will follow, right? And to do that, we have mm-hmm. to get to them in that heart level, right?
Now, so it's I was going to say
sometimes to get to that heart, there's a lot of walls that have been put up because of the traumas that we faced, bad broken relationships, you know, watching mama and daddy go through what they go through, the divorce we talked about earlier. But as a man, you've got to be able to say, I'm willing to persevere through it all because my goal and desire is not my own happiness. It's not my own pleasure. It's about helping you become the woman that you want, that God has called you to be, and I'm fully committed to that, right? So to be married, marriage is an act of selflessness. Excuse me.
Okay. So we got about 10 more minutes. I want to say that. I want to ask you this. So I get all that, but I still, when I walk away from this podcast, when I walk away from this phone, what I don't want is somebody to kind of sort of really be in limbo, unsure, because I think there's a process. I understand, and I wanted to talk about it before when you said that I don't believe that dating is ordained by God. I wanted to touch on that. So if dating is not ordained by God, then, again, our culture doesn't go by scripture, in case you didn't notice, then how do we instruct our young men when they do find someone? I can tell you what my word is, and I will in a second. How can we help young men who are going through and they're trying to find that one? But, again, if God has said, okay, you ready, and you've gone through life and you believe that you're ready to have a wife, so you want to work on self, and you've worked on self, and you believe you're ready, and you meet someone, I guess my thing is I want to make sure that our young men understand that, yes, God can fix any of us. That's what he does. We're all filthy rags to him. We're nothing, right? But I want the young men, I want us men, and when I say young, I'm just really including everybody. But dating in this world that we live in is a very, very difficult thing because I believe that we're taking a chance on whichever way we turn because there's so many dangers out in the world and we all have different motives and we go out with these pure and instinctive motives and sometimes we don't meet the right people. So just to kind of touch on what you said, I believe everything you said is true. I truly do. I think you haven't missed a point, but I just believe we're missing, how does it happen? And I get it happens in different ways, but, as a guy, as I said before, I've been divorced now almost 24 years. Not saying I haven't met a plethora of ladies who qualify in what you were saying. It's just something in me that was just saying, nah, not the one. Nah. And so how do we get to that point? Like where you've gotten to. How do we get to that point? Do we have to grow into that? Because my belief at this point is that, I think we have to grow into it. I've rarely seen it, and I say rarely seen it, where a man meets a woman, they know each other for, I got a good friend out in Chicago area, met his wife, knew from the moment that he met her that he was going to marry her, married her within meeting her, I think a month. They were young. Both were under 25, and they're still married to this day. So how do we get to that level of faith? How do we get there?
See, and that's the thing, right? you know, as I talk to young men and they're talking about dating, they're like my son. He's a great example, 17, and he's talking about relationships and he's talking about, you know, what are you looking for in a relationship? And my advice to him is the same advice I have to any man. The relationship you need to work on is your relationship with God himself and being able to hear his voice and trust him. And I know not everybody is Christian, and we live in that world, but if you're going to be successful in marriage, I mean truly mm-hmm. successful mm-hmm. in marriage, right? Not this mm-hmm. worldly version of success, but a spiritual version of success that goes yeah. that last generation after generation and lasts for an eternity, it's let me secure my relationship with God, and then from there, wherever I go and I allow him to lead me, I'm going to be good, right? You know, I'm going to be okay. So when I see that woman, no matter where I see her, right? You know, I try to tell people, you know, you probably can't find your wife in the club, but there's no guarantee God can't do that, right? But the thing about it is, if you are in tune with God and you're walking with him and he's guiding and directing your path, and that relationship is solid, he will lead you where he wants you to go. But that's the second part of it, and that's what I was kind of alluding to. He will lead you where he wants you to go, not where you want to be, which means that like he may want you to marry that woman that's not quite what you're looking for, you know, and this picture in your head. But in that marriage, there's something greater than you can get when you find your own on your own, right? And it's being able to commit yourself to that level of submission to say, okay, you know, and being real. I mean, I'll tell men, be real. Be like, man, God, that woman, she's a little heavy. I normally don't like them that heavy. But then to be able to say, but not your will, but mine, right? And if you can operate like that, then I believe that what would come from that act of submission, it will never be without fruit.
You know, it's funny. If you said something, you're making me think. You said something, you made me think. I'm growing up on this one phone call. Because another thing that I personally have done, and you said this early on, and you just said it again, is that all those ideas, all those things I was throwing out before, you know, the ideal woman, her characteristics, you know, when you throw away that sort of thinking, throw it in the gutter. I think you're 100% right. You said it before, you said it again, you know, because if you stop pursuing and you stop looking, you stop chasing after things, it's like you said, I believe God will send. I believe God will open up your eyes to that one that you want to be in relationship with. You just don't know her. You don't know it. And like you said, you know, create that environment where she can become that woman. And a lot of, this is something I noticed, and I've only heard this a few times in my life, where a man and a woman have known each other for years and didn't realize they were meant to be together. As a matter of fact, one of my old pastors, knew his wife from grade school. They lived down the street from each other. He went into the church, went to college. She went to college. He became a minister. She got married, had children. Unfortunately, that relationship didn't work out. And all of a sudden, 20 years later, however long it was, they wind up back together. And they've been married now, I believe, is well over 30 years. And you're really saying something that's kind of, you know, resonating with me. Especially about the, you know, depending on God part, because we have to be willing. You know what I mean? We have to be willing to follow Christ. You got to not worry about if the relationship's going to work or not, nothing like that. If God sent this woman to you and sent you to this woman, I mean, hey, it is what it is. It's going to be. And so I'm trying to think about that, but I'm also thinking at it from a, you know, from a man point of view, where I'm saying, what if we just slow our roll, calm down, study the word of God, and wait on him? You think we can find better relationships that way? I think they'll last longer.
I think we can, you know, but, and I love what you said, and there's a proverb, you can let me know which one it is, but there's a proverb out there. And I think it really exemplifies how we're supposed to move. And it says something to the effect of, we may make our plans, but God will direct our path. Right?
Yeah, one,
and
talks about many, many other plans of a man.
Right, right, right. And when I read that scripture, I think about, it's okay for me to make a plan. It's okay for me to be active in the things God has for me. But ultimately, that second part is where we get caught up, right? We may make our plans, but God will direct our path, right?
Yeah.
Don't say, and God will direct our path. It says, but, which means that there may be a situation that the plan I made, the plan I've designed, is not the one that's going, is not the path that God put me on, right?
Yeah.
But that scripture for me tells me that if I can embrace that, that, let me go out and make a plan. Let me go out and try to do the things. And I don't think it's wrong to pursue, right? But you got to pursue with the knowledge of knowing that God's going to direct my path. And I'll tell you personally myself, when I'm trying to execute my plan, I'm not able to hear anybody. I'm not mature enough to hear anything but that. So for me, it's about me sitting down sometimes and waiting for God to say something to me. Because I know in my immaturity, if I start pursuing things, then I lose focus. I don't hear his voice. All I can hear in my own head is what I'm trying to accomplish and what I'm trying to do. There are other men out there who are spiritually mature, who can take actions, but then pivot on the dime, right? And you know, I love how Paul, if you watch how Paul moves sometimes, there are times he had a plan, God put something in his heart, he moved and he changed directions in a heartbeat, right? No questions asked, no, but what? I thought I was trying. No, he changed directions in a heartbeat. And that level of submission is where we all need to be, where if I am going to make my plan, if God gives me something that goes 180 degrees direction where I'm supposed to go, that I can be like, okay, God, you're directing my path.
And I like that. I understand that. I mean, it all makes perfectly good sense. I guess I'm sitting here. I think what you were talking about was Proverbs 19:21. Where it talks about many, many other plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. But I'm sitting back. I'm thinking. You got me thinking real hard, man. You got me thinking real hard. But before I get too deep, we've run over a little bit on our time. But I want to say this. I want to pick this back up because I really want to talk about this next week because I want to dig a little deeper. I want to get more into the soul of what we're talking about now. I'm sorry it took us so long to get here, everybody. But I really want to dig into it. So next week, Jason, if you don't mind, man, we'll come and we'll be prepared to really kind of dig deep in this because I think you're hitting on something right now, and I hate to leave everybody kind of hanging with it, but I think this is important for the society that we live in today. I think this is really going to be beneficial. And so with that being said, I want to encourage everybody not to give up. Keep going. God knows what he is doing. And if you let go of the wheel and let Jesus take the wheel, you can't wind up in the wrong place. You're going to be where you're supposed to be at that moment in time when God takes over. So with that being said, Jason, you got any parting words for us real quick here?
No, you said it all. Trust God and let him take the wheel.
Trust God. All right, with that said, everybody, I just thank you again for being here. And we love you. We truly appreciate you. God loves you. Have a good weekend. And as we always say about this time, find something you love, chase it, embrace it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Cedric and Jason. We want to say God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.
I feel like Bruce Banner. Can't nobody stop me.
Hey, can't nobody stop me. My plug got the answer. I know my guy got me. I'm unstoppable.
You can't stop what is meant to prosper.
Nah.
Got them hits like an LA Dodger.
Yeah.
God chose me, put me on the roster.
Yeah.
Chasing goals, I want Grammys and Oscars. Took some losses, but I'm still a winner. Been forgiven, but I'm still a sinner. Wanna see me fail, that won't happen though. I'm the front page in the centerfold. I can't be stopped, I got the power. My enemies looking real sour. Trying to hold me back like rush hour. All obstacles, I straight devour. No one's gonna stop me, I promise I don't play. You don't wanna with me, I'm coming no delay. Hear a lot of talking no matter what he say. Turning up the hustle, I'm bringing a heat wave.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
I read the host of hosts, I got the Holy Ghost, I do not need to boast.
Nah.
Strength within, release through the pen, write about my sin, cause it inspires men. Humble with the talent, let him put me on high.
On
the
high.
Power that is in me can't be seen like Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Overcome the look of fear and tell it bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Undefeated through the Lord, no I won't lie. Oh my, oh my, you don't wanna waste time, it'll fly by, fly by. Came into the game, it was all in vain. Switched up a frame, now I'm in my own lane.
Yeah.
Gotta see the vision, get a plan, make it clear. Pregnant since the hustle, all I will appear. Never quit, stay the course, trust fate. Even when you think the dream is coming late.
Hey.
I've already had a lot of reasons I can throw in the towel. But the spirit living in me doesn't ever let me know how. Tired of all the rappers claiming what they really not like, wow. I see a lot of foolery, not fooling me, I gotta call a foul.
I gotta call a foul.
Can't be stopped, will not quit. I got goals, I'm gon' hit. Go so hard, I'm so lit. Mind on him, homie, that's it.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
Wrote this verse on the resurrection. Stepped on in, healed my infection. Since that day I've had your protection. No question about it, my best selection. Got the picture like panorama. All glory up to Hosanna. My fire lit, started going hammer. That's why I feel like Bruce Banner.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.